Blog Talk Radio. This program is being brought to you by I Am a Success Story. Our mission statement: to empower each other to accept ourselves in a world that is constantly trying to make us something we are not.
Good evening. I am your host, Blaze, and it is Thursday, April 12, 2018. It was a beautiful, still is, it is a beautiful Thursday. It was beautiful out today, nice and warm. Really felt like a spring weather today. And I had a good day. How about you? I hope you had an awesome, blessed day today as well. And it's going to be an awesome night. We're talking tonight about staying organized. You know, we focused the entire year, last year, on getting organized. And I have to tell you that it's still a work in progress for me personally. So if any one of you mastered it within that year, kudos to you, because it is still a work in progress for me, and I'm still working on it. And so staying organized can be very difficult because you tend to go back to your old habits. You know, you may be hanging up your clothes every single day when you come in, and oops, one day you come in and you dropped it where you normally used to drop it, and then next day, and before you know it, 3 days in a row, you're doing the same thing, and you have to check yourself. And if you don't check yourself soon enough, well, the pile comes right back. So staying organized is not an easy task at all. It really isn't. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight. And I'll be playing a few recordings for you on organizing pros, because I'm not an organizing pro at all. I'm not going to sit here and tell you a story, because it would be a lie. But we're going to start the program tonight with none other than Kurt Franklin. My name is Blaze. I'm your host, and I'm having a nice cup of tea. My water is getting ready, so I'm going to have me a nice cup of tea. So I'm going to put on Kurt Franklin's smile while I go and check on my tea. I'll be right back.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day.
With you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm going to be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt the eye, smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I know God is working, so I
right now.
What people say,
no one can predict what the future holds. In order to enjoy everything life has to offer, you need a strong immune system. It's important to educate immune cells to prepare your body for the unexpected. Support your immune system by incorporating 4-Life Transfer Factor products into your life. Feel confident in every situation and enjoy superior health and wellness. In today's world, it's not enough just to eat healthy and exercise. With exposure to threats in every walk of life, your immune system is constantly being challenged by invaders. The immune system is your main line of defense, and it must be vigilant in order for you to remain healthy. 4-Life Transfer Factor products are designed specifically for our time, developed to support your immune system in a unique and effective way. These patent-protected products don't just supply the body with nutrients. They provide vital information to immune cells, enabling their ability to recognize, respond to, and remember potential threats. The power behind these top-selling 4-Life products are immune system messengers called transfer factors. Transfer factors are found in colostrum, or a mother's first milk, as a way for mothers to transfer immune system information to their young. 4-Life obtains transfer factors from cow colostrum and, through innovative research, chicken egg yolks. The discovery that immunity can be borrowed from one species and shared with another is what forms the foundation of 4-Life Transfer Factor. Years of research and hundreds of studies show the ability of transfer factors to educate immune cells so your body can quickly recognize threats and deal with them accordingly. Our flagship product, 4-Life Transfer Factor Trifactor Formula, enhances, educates, and balances the immune system. With the exclusive Trifactor formula, it boosts the activity of your body's important first-line defenders called natural killer cells by a proven 283%. Available in a capsule or in a delicious citrus cream chewable tablet, either way, you can enjoy the immune system benefits of these unique products. 4-Life Transfer Factor Plus Trifactor formula, 4-Life's top-selling product, includes the benefits of 4-Life Transfer Factor in addition to other immune system support ingredients. These include mitake and shiitake mushrooms and baker's yeast to add nutritional and body-fortifying benefits. Independent test results show this immune system powerhouse boosts the body's natural killer cell activity by 437%. Every 4-Life Transfer Factor product is certified, guaranteeing our commitment to the identity, purity, strength, and composition of our ingredients. 4-Life is there when you need us most, with products for your life. The future of your health depends on what you do today. Make smart choices. Build a better life with 4-Life.
Yes, 4-Life Transfer Factor can be found on www.thenumber4thewordlife.com/BLASE. And if you have any questions, you may reach me at 315-333-2377. And of course, I have taken my Transfer Factor, my cardio for the day. I've taken my BIOESA. For the day, which is the Omega combination. I've taken my Bountiful Harvest and my Fiber Plus. I've taken all of my transfer factors. But yes, right before I go to bed, I will be taking two more cardio. So Transfer Factor Plus, for Life Transfer Factor products. My name is Blaze. I'm your host, and we are doing Staying Organized. I'm borrowing 8 tips for daily sanity from Debbie Bowie tonight, and Debbie's passion is helping others discover the profound impact that environment has on performance. If your environment is not clean and peaceful, it will affect your performance because it is all about the energy. And later on this evening, I will play a recording for you that will explain just how energy and clutter can affect your daily life. So eight tips to staying organized. Eight tips for daily sanity by Debbie Bowie. And Debbie starts her article by saying that staying organized is not for sissies, which means it takes a lot of courage, it takes a lot of guts, it takes a lot of hard work and inner communication. You know, last night I went to listen to Ianla VanZant with her Let It Go tour, and I had the privilege of sitting there for a few hours and hear Ianla speak. And one of the things that she said that I will remember, because this is going to be a part of me, is that discipline means different things to different people based on how you were disciplined as a child. And so instead of being disciplined, because I always found an issue with it, because I always say I'm not a disciplined person in many ways, because in many ways I'm not. And the older I get, it seems that the ways I used to be, I was disciplined in, no longer serves me, so it changes. But one of the things she said is it is called inner communication, because if your mind and your heart and everything, if your what you want and what you're feeling is not communicating the same thing, then it's a problem. So I heard that, I got that, and I accept that, because this made perfect sense to me. And so yes, organization is not for CCs. You know, the athletes that win gold medals are not the ones who sleep till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? So unlike getting organized, it requires a commitment to daily action to maintain the order you created when you got organized. That means you must do the same action day after day after day after day. Ooh, repetition. I'm learning to love repetition. I'm learning to love repetition. In order to avoid trauma of having to reorganize chaos all over again. So what's the big deal? All you have to do every day is pick things up, put them away, throw them away, or give them away. That's the simple answer to how to stay organized. No big deal. That's for some people. For some people, yes, it's a very big deal, because if you ask me, for me, yeah, it's a big deal, especially when you have lots to do. It's a big deal. And so Debbie says, the action you must take are not difficult. In fact, they are very easy ones. They're very easy once you have established an initial order, but they are boring and that's exactly what I was thinking as I was reading this, guys. And I know some of you may be thinking that, but once you develop the habit, it is so great. You know, that's the thing about it. Getting there is troublesome, but once you get there, it is so great. So for those folks who are creative, fun-loving, and who crave variety and stimulation, the repetitive actions required to stay organized can feel deadly. Who are you telling? I can so relate. But they must be done if you want to stay organized and have a peaceful life free of chaos. Truth. So while that soaks in, guys, we're going to let that soak in, and I'm going to go
intentional, because whatever we do to better ourselves, we need to do it with intention and intentionally. But Travis Green, intentional. I'll be right back.
Accept ourselves in a world that is constantly trying to make us something we are not.
I didn't realize I was just speaking to you on a mute microphone. Go figure. So what I was saying was that, as Debbie says in her article, watch your behavior to identify actions that contribute to the problem of being disorganized and commit to changing the problem behaviors. Because intention, you heard intention from Travis Green. And doing things with intention is one thing. Doing things in a manipulative way is a totally different. And if you're doing things to manipulate to get results from others, you're only going to mess your own self up. But if you're doing things with intention to better your own life, to get ahead for yourself, to better yourself, then by all means. So the second thing, so she says that common problem behaviors include dropping plot and choosing to be a couch potato mode instead of taking care of business, avoiding and procrastination. And as I said, I don't need to repeat that because you already know I've said it several times that procrastination is one of my things. So I'm speaking to myself here now. You know, just get it done, because if you're going to put it off for later or tomorrow, if you have a busy schedule like I do, there is no tomorrow, there is no later, there is only now. So yes, Blaze, there is only now. But later, do not put it off for tomorrow. Now, hey, I just called myself up on the program. There you go. So if you're afraid of straightening out yourself, I just give you an example on how to do it. Because I tell you all the time, speak life to yourself. Well, guess what? You need to check yourself as well. And this is how you check yourself. You say, Blaze, have to book my own breaks. You know, for, in order for me to take a break, it's booked, you know, because there are so many things I need to take care of and other people that I'm taking care of and places that I need to be. So I don't have time to say, well, I can't say tomorrow, but I say tomorrow all the time. I can't say later, but I say later all the time. And I see the results of it, because the results of it is there is a pile, and then I have to make time to go through that pile. So common problem behaviors include, as I just said, so snap out of it, Blaze, snap out of it. So you just learn how to tell yourself, snap out of it. Number two, identify specific places in your schedule for daily organizing activities. And that's one of the things I do. Cleaning the bathroom is in my calendar. Cleaning the kitchen is in my calendar. You know, cleaning my desk, my office, my bedroom is in my calendar, because if it's not, it's quick to overlook it. And sometimes even when it is, because of my personality and me not knowing how to balance, I say, okay, let me finish this and I'll do it later. And again, there is no time for it. There is only the now. So when school and work schedules create a structure around them, you know, create a structure around your schedule. And whether it's work, school, business, you know, with arranged routine organizing tasks. For example, she says, there is usually a small window in the morning before leaving the house. So you load the dishwasher, you put a load of clothes in the washer, you clean the breakfast dishes, that sort of thing. You know, you may wipe the window, you know, you may check your voicemail, that sort of thing, so that you can get some of that out of the way. Number three, she says, incorporate the most important organizing tasks into routines. And again, routines can be very boring to some, and I'm one of those. You know, I will do it for a little while, but then I get like, oh my gosh. And so it's one of the things that I'm constantly working on and reminding myself, it is for your own good. You got to get into this habit of getting this done. So incorporate the most important organizing tasks into routines, just like how you wake up in the morning and you brush your teeth. You know, checking your email, cleaning up after breakfast, doing some stuff early, getting ready for work the night before, preparing your lunch, showering, hanging up the wet towels, that sort of thing. Number four, she said, reward yourself and for changed behavior. So all of a sudden you realize it's been 3 months and you're doing everything right. Reward yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back. But also, something nice, whatever it is, movies. You know, so many of us do these fun things without it being a reward. But if we use it as a reward, then we are more inclined to stay on task. Number five, be willing to pay to get help if you haven't been successful in your efforts to stay organized by a certain date. There are virtual assistants all over the place. There is help everywhere. So it's easy now to get help. And so get some help to help you stay organized. There is no shame in getting help. Number six, hire others to do things you hate the most or have the hardest time doing. Don't bother hire people to do stuff you love or stuff that's easy for you. Pay someone to do what you cannot do. Number seven, make staying organized a family commitment. And number eight, have realistic expectations for the level of organization you can maintain. And I'm going to share this on my I'm a Success Story page after the program. I can do that now. I'm going to share this article on the page, on the I'm a Success Story page, so you can go to the page and get this article and read it into its entirety and see how it can benefit you, because it actually is a great article. And so now I am going to take a break. It's break time. I'm going to take a break, and then I will come back with a recording for you. First, I'm going to give you a recording on how to beginner's guide to getting organized, because it's not an easy task to be organized. And then I will give you another recording on how to organize your life in 1 week. Ha! Go fever! I'll be right back.
This program is being brought to you by I Am a Success Story. Our mission statement: to empower each other to accept ourselves in a world that is constantly trying to make us something we are not.
Yes, When I Think About the Lord by James
recently from you guys asking how to go about getting into organization and how to become more of an organized person and where to start, because a lot of videos and even blog posts and whatnot about organization are like, do this, and it doesn't really work that simply. Like, you don't just wake up one morning and go, guess what, I'm a new person, I'm super organized. Like, it takes time. So in today's video, I thought I would chat to you about two really important things that I kind of feel like are the fundamentals to organization, things that will help you ease into creating new routines for yourself and new habits for yourself. And it's, I think it's a really good place to start changing, to start become more organized. I've got to get these words out today. I just thought I would share that with you. Today, I thought I would go through two things and the really easy ways that you can start becoming more organized. So let's get started. So the first half of everything that I wanted to talk about is decluttering. And that's a really broad statement or whatever, but there's a lot more to it than just decluttering. I started decluttering about a year ago. It was like towards the end of 2016. And it has changed everything. I've found that it makes it so much easier for me to keep everything clean. My house is less likely to get messy as often. And if it is messy, it's not like a horrific mess that's really hard to clean up and put stuff away. Like, it's actually really easy. So decluttering is really, really important. The reason it's really important is because having a messy space is really demotivating, and it's really hard to become more organized if things don't have a place. And that was what I realized about a year ago. I was like, I have too much stuff and not enough space to keep it all. So it meant that things were like getting too full in my wardrobe. I didn't have enough hanging space. I couldn't fit things in my drawers properly, or I couldn't, have everything in its spot at the one time. I would have stuff on benches and on my chest of drawers and on the dining table because I didn't have room for it in a particular place. And that's when I realized, I was like, we own way too much stuff as humans, and we put too much of an emotional connection to just items and objects, and it's really weird. So I've spent the last year kind of learning how to be better at decluttering. At first, it's going to be really hard for you because you will have that really odd emotional connection to things. But as you practice it and you get better at it, you'll be able to come like super cutthroat, and you'll be able to throw stuff out all the time. And it totally changes your entire environment. So obviously, decluttering as a whole can be really, really overwhelming, and it can seem really time consuming. And that's a bit like, I don't even want to start because I don't know where to start. The easiest place to start is to pick a space within your home. I personally think like clothing decluttering is the easiest. I started with clothing decluttering and my wardrobe declutter, which I'll actually link all those videos in the description. They're about a year old now, and I'm about to do the same thing because we've just gone into a new season here and I need to get new clothes and I'm ready to kind of refresh everything. So I'm about to do another wardrobe declutter. But that's where I started. I thought that was the easiest place because guarantee you, half of you who are watching this video are going to look around your room and be like, half of my mess is clothes. And even now, I can see piles of clothes down there that really need to be cleaned up. I feel like clothes cause so much mess in people's homes. It's because we own too many and we don't even wear half of them. So for me, like chest of drawers, I think that's probably the easiest place to start if you have drawers full of clothes. And you don't even have to tackle the whole thing if that's too much for you. Start with one drawer per day and then just kind of go through it. And even if you only throw out one thing, at least you've made some progress. So what I would suggest doing is, if you really need to ease into it, a drawer per day, and once the whole thing is completed, wait maybe 2 weeks to a month and come back and just do it again. And you'll find that it'll be so much easier to keep clearing stuff out. And then eventually you'll have enough space for all of your clothes, and putting clothes away won't become an issue anymore because they'll just fit neatly in your drawers and you don't have to shove things in. And I'm starting to get to that point again where things are starting to get too full, so that's why I need to declutter again. And if you're sitting here wondering, like, how do I know what to throw out? Well, I feel like the pretty standard rules are, have you worn it for the last 6 months? And if you're not doing clothes, have you used it for the last 6 months? Is it something that you've used? And if it isn't, think about it. Are you going to use it for the next week? Are you going to wear it in the next week? And if you're definitely like, no, I won't, then get rid of it. If you're unsure, give it a week. If you haven't worn it, get rid of it. Keep things that have sentimental value, like I have a dress in my closet that my mom bought for me, and it's not because it was bought for a special occasion. I just purely remember the shopping trip that we went on, and I want to keep that because it means a lot to me. It has great memories. I've had it for about 8 years. I will probably wear this dress again. I think it's one of those like timeless dresses that you could just keep wearing, so I'll probably wear it again, but I want to keep it because it means a lot to me. But there's so many other dresses that I have just bought for different occasions that I just stopped wearing, and it wasn't necessary to keep them, so I got rid of it. And I think that's a really great place to start. And if you don't want to do your wardrobe and you don't want to do your clothes, pick something else in your house. Maybe start with your desk and just work little section by little section. Do a little bit each day. If you want to do it all in one day on a weekend, that's totally fine as well. But don't feel like you have to tackle an entire room in one go or your whole house in one go. I'm still decluttering, and it's in September 2017, and I started about a year ago. Like, this is a long process. You have to understand this isn't going to happen straight away. The whole place isn't going to be like completely perfect, and you have to understand it's not a once-off. You have to keep doing it time and time again. Like I said, I started with a wardrobe declutter, and it's now a new season, and I have to do it again. Because we buy things. We buy things, we add them to our homes, and if we're not clearing stuff out, then we get too stacked up and everything gets way too overwhelming. So I really think that decluttering is going to change how you approach organization. I think it's the most important part of organization because it's too hard to get in and start organizing things when you have too many things. Does that make sense? And I'm not saying you have to go out and be a minimalist. I don't consider myself a minimalist at all. I like to call myself a simplist. I like to have the most simple form of everything. You can collect things. I collect coffee mugs, so I have like a million coffee mugs. But, you know, I have 6 plates, and I feel like 6 plates is enough for me. If you have a really big family, have more than that. If you feel like 6 plates is too little for you, I mean too many for you, then have less. It's about just finding what works in the most simplest form for you and not having excessive amounts. So that's what I like to do. So if you want to go down that minimalist path, you can totally do that too. But I feel like this is kind of one step back, and it's not being a hoarder and having excessive amounts, but just having the right amount. So yeah, decluttering is the first point that I have to tell you, and just take your time, like ease into it, get used to it, and keep doing it and keep practicing. And eventually you'll be able to throw stuff out without having any emotional attachment, and it will be amazing. The second thing that I wanted to talk about is kind of like self-organization. I feel like the first part is kind of like the basic physical organization. The second part is more like a mental organization. I am a lover of pens and pencils and books and diaries. Like that's me. I love it. My desk is covered in a couple of notebooks. Again, I have quite a few different notebooks because I like to categorize things, and that's how I work organizing things. But one of the habits of successful people is to get all of their thoughts out. They write things down. If pen and paper isn't for you, totally go digital. Write diary notes in like different Word applications. You can have calendars, everything that you need, but you need to get it out of your mind. Like, you're not going to start seeing a change or working towards anything if you don't get it out of your mind. One of my favorite ways of creating to-do lists and working with things is not only in my little notebooks and my diaries, but it's literally just grabbing a plain piece of paper and just writing a to-do list on that. I do it all the time. I've got my printer behind me. If I need to write some to-do lists, I'll just grab some paper out and I'll start writing. I think if you're going to start with this, why not grab one piece of paper and write down every single thing that you want to start decluttering in your room, and tie this sort of mental organization in with your physical organization, and write down every part of your room that you would like to declutter. Then grab another piece of paper and write down everything that you would like to declutter today or this week. So if it's going to be your chest of drawers, you could write Monday, top drawer, Tuesday, second drawer, and you could break it down into more and more to-do lists. That's what I like to do. I have more than one. I have like a big overall to-do list, and then I have a smaller one to be able to get me through that day or that week. And I think that's really, really helpful and a super easy way to start. You don't need to go out and buy a fancy notebook. Just grab a couple pieces of paper and start your list. And that's going to help you kind of have a game plan on where to start with your physical organization. And I really like that. And then you can get into the really fun, creative organizational things like mood boards and like, you know, creating like goal ideas that you can put on your wall so you can visualize things. That's where it gets really fun, but it's also really overwhelming if you haven't got an idea of where to start. So start writing to-do lists, start getting some ideas out, and you can totally start with the fact that you're going to be decluttering your place. That's how you can practice these to-do lists, and you can practice crossing them off and see how you feel. Like, actually take a moment to see how you feel once you've crossed stuff off. Trust me, it'll make you feel amazing, and you'll want to keep cleaning and you'll want to keep decluttering. So those are the two really important parts, I think, to beginning and starting to become more organized. I really hope you guys haven't found this video helpful. If you have any tips, please leave them as a comment down below. And up the top here, you can check out my last video down the bottom. I'll leave a link to another one of my organization videos. And I will see you guys in my next one. Bye. Thank you.
in this video, you guys are going to be finding out how to organize your life in 1 week. Now, this is a magic formula I have for you. See, when you want to organize your life, you got to have a freaking blueprint. Same way that you want to build a house, you just can't build a house, you know, out of thin air, you know. You can think about it, but your thoughts have to go on paper. So this is the Mir-approved formula for organizing your life. You have energy plus purpose plus the one thing equals GSD. What does that stand for? Getting shit done, okay? Energy, purpose, the one thing. That's the formula to organize your life pretty much in 1 week. In fact, you can organize your life in 1 day. So let's go one by one, okay? So let me erase these guys right here. What do I mean by energy? See, when people are looking to organize their life, they're looking for time management. Well, I can give you all the time in the world. However, if you don't have the energy to maximize your time, what's the point? I can tell you, hey, here's 10 hours, accomplish this essay. Now you can be sitting in front of the computer, having energy dips, having concentration issues, your brain's not working. What's the point of those 10 hours? They do nothing for you. So that's why energy trumps time. You know, some people may take 3 hours to accomplish a certain task, while other people who have maximum energy, their body's functioning at the high level, and their mind is functioning at the high level, they may do that in half an hour. So time is all, it doesn't really matter. What matters is energy. Your body must be functioning like a Ferrari engine, okay? Do you want to be functioning like a broken down car? No, you want to be functioning like a Ferrari or like a Mercedes or like an Enzo, whatever your favorite, you know, luxury sports car is. I prefer Enzo, I really like, or old school Alfa Romeo. Now, how do you maximize energy? This is my formula, okay? Number one, okay, you need sleep, S-L-E-E-P, sleep, yes. I don't want to hear it from those entrepreneurs out there or athletes or whoever saying, oh, but Amir, I can survive on 4 or 5 hours of sleep. No, you can't. That's why your energy sucks. That's why you can't concentrate properly, is because you don't respect your sleep. Now, sleeping controls your hormones. It controls your neurotransmitter dopamine. Dopamine is responsible for your concentration. Sleep controls your blood sugar levels. Here's an interesting fact from a study published about a couple of years ago. If you sleep deprive your body roughly up to 48 hours, you have the same blood sugar levels as a diabetic. I repeat, the same blood sugar levels as a diabetic. Sleep controls every faction of your body. You want to increase your energy? Improve your sleep. You want to increase your concentration? Improve your sleep. You want to increase maximizing your time? Improve your sleep. Don't F around. Okay? Don't make excuses for yourself. You want to crush life? You want to make it in life? You want to become the best version of yourself? Improve your sleep. So how do you improve your sleep? That's a million-dollar question. I'm not going to get into nitty-gritty of things. I've written about sleep a million times on my blog. If you haven't checked that out, just head over to my website, amirrosic.com. However, these are the two golden principles you're going to learn right now. Number one. Okay, so I'm going to get red over here so we see the difference here. Number one is you got to go to bed at 10 p.m. Like, there's no ifs or buts. Stop going to bed at midnight. Stop going to bed at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. You're not productive that way. And that's why you can't maximize your time the next day, because you got no energy. You know, your body's running on fumes. You know, start respecting your body. Simple as that. I can't stress enough about maximizing your sleep. You know, it irks me and it irritates me when I see entrepreneurs and I see athletes trying to prove themselves, but they don't respect their sleep. It's an oxymoron in my mind. Sleep is the foundation of everything. Sleep controls who you are. So number one is 10 p.m. Number two, and this is super important, and like I said, I don't want to complicate things. I've written extensively about this on my blog, is lights out. Lights out. And lights out 1.5 5 hours before bed. Okay? Now, light controls your hormones. Artificial lights, and then forget about it. Any light controls your hormones. That's why we're energized throughout the day. The sun can stimulate your testosterone, stimulate your adrenaline, stimulate your stress hormone, cortisol. So what do you think you're doing to yourself at nighttime when you're around artificial light, when you're around your computer, your cell phone, overhead light? Your body doesn't know the difference, is that day or is that night? It still thinks it's the sun. And that's why you're stimulated at night. And that's why it causes issues with your hormones. So it's really, really important that 1.5 hours before bedtime, the lights are out, you should be in pure darkness. Okay, I'll leave it at that. Simple as that. That's step one, is sleep, okay, for energy. Now, what's step two? Step two is something really, really important. That's rituals of the morning. Let me write that down. Step two is ritual. Your body likes to have consistencies. It likes continuity. It likes to be programmed. So when you maximize your sleep for step one for energy, you are maximizing your hormone output. Your body is accustomed to when you go to sleep and when you wake up. Now in the morning for rituals, this is how you can gear up your body and gear up your mind. What I do personally is once I wake up, right away I go to my kitchen and I make myself my specialized water drink. It's 1 liter of reverse osmosis or spring water. I have a little bit of organic baking soda in there, probably a whole lemon or lime, your choice, doesn't matter. Sometimes sea salt, it depends on how thirsty I am. I chug back that sucker. That's 1 liter of water, because water controls your cells. Water controls how your brain thinks. A lot of times when you're hungry or you're running really slow, that's not an issue with the things around you. That's an issue with dehydration. Remember, we're 70% plus water, so hydrate yourself. That's the first thing I do in the morning. Second thing I do in the morning of the rituals, let me write this down right away. Number one is one L of water, okay? Number two is journaling. So, journal, okay? Now, journaling is almost like a mind dump. I want you in the morning to be grateful for everything in your life. I personally use something called the 5-minute journal, created by my two close friends, Alex Icon and UJ Ramdas. I highly recommend it. I've written about that extensively as well on AmirRosic.com. You can use any journal. It can even be a piece of paper. It can be whatever. At the end of the day, mind dump all your thoughts on paper. And you'll notice that you have more clear thinking in the day. You'll notice that everything becomes more sharp inside of your mind, because your mind is like a computer. On occasions, you have to defragment your hard drive. So you got to defragment your brain, your mind. And by journaling on a day-to-day basis, you are defragmenting it and making it more efficient. And now your morning ritual can be anything. This is mine. I simply, a lot of water, journaling, and there's a third thing I will add, just in case you guys are interested, is I do mobility. So I get the blood flow moving to my head. I do a lot of inversions. I don't have a table. I go outdoors. I move around and do a lot of Qigong. My background's martial arts. I'll do martial arts, and I'll do a lot of handstands or upside down on a tree to get the blood flow flowing into my mind. Okay? Now, the morning ritual will maximize your day, will maximize your energy, will maximize your time efficiency, because your energy levels will be what? Skyrocketing. Okay? That is step two in energy. Moving along. Step three to maximize your energy is the creme de la creme, the icing on the top, and that is diet. Step three, we got diet. Now,
yes, tonight was a speaking on mute mic night for me. Oh, my gosh. I just realized I did it again. Well, folks, see you tomorrow night. Networking Friday. Silence is good for the soul sometimes. It gives you the opportunity to meditate on what you just heard. So God bless you. I love you. See see you tomorrow. Good night, John Diaz. Breathe.